viewpoints expressed on The Edge are not necessarily those of this radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors.
It's time for The Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Lott. You can join Daniel and his guests as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638. Or locally here in Indiana, 359-5593. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638. Or locally at 359-5593. You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Radio broadcast. Here's Daniel Ott.
Newsmaker line and see if we have with us Roy Moore. Roy, are you there?
Hello, Daniel. Good to be with you.
Hey, good evening, Roy. We've been stoking the flames here for you to come over and just finish, blow wind on that fire. We get a bonfire going here tonight.
Well, I think we can help you out. We're going to blow the minds of a lot of Christians tonight. Have some fun.
Well, that's always good. Now, you know, I've got a ton of emails, and what I'm getting is that some are suggesting that, well, if that's not true, then throw the whole thing out. So I think what we need to do is dice that up a little bit and find out, is there any truth, or is every truth due for some sort of scrutiny like we're going to review tonight on the process of tithing?
Well, tithing's a tradition that's been handed over to us by the people that stand to benefit the most from it, and it's a very good thing for everyone who believes in the Bible and has practiced tithing to take it to God for themselves, and they can hear from the Lord for themselves, and they can read their Bibles for themselves, and then they can find out if this is true or not, what we're going to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know I got some of my own questions for you tonight, Roy, but let's talk a little bit of history here. We have, of course, a little bit on the website, but what happened to you? What caused you to start to look into that and maybe turn the tables on what you've learned?
Well, if I can give a little background, I got saved when I was 29 years old. I came out of the 60s, 70s lifestyle and the rock concerts in San Francisco and all that. And when I came to God, I really got saved, and my life really changed. I plugged in the church. I was single then, and married my wife about 3 years afterwards. I found her at the church I went to. And tithing was introduced to us from the very beginning back there in that little church we started attending. And for the next 24 years, we practiced tithing religiously. And we had our own business, so we generally tithed from the gross income of our business. During that time, we had a house given to us, and we went out and borrowed $24,000 to pay tithe, a 10% tithe, and a 5% offering, which our church required, to pay the tithe for that house that was given to us. So in 24 years, I estimate that we were in well over 3,000 church services. Our old church was four times a week, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. So we got pretty well indoctrinated during that time period, and 12 or 13 years of that, we changed churches. The ones we started with kind of disintegrated, blew up, and was dissolved. Along with seven other families, we helped to found another new church, a non-denominational church, and just kind of start over with God and the Bible. And a few months later, we hired a pastor from Texas, brought him in, and his background was similar, and tithing was part of the formula that they brought into the church, and so we just continued and followed our leaders and continued tithing all that time. Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago, because our pastor's wife had made a comment to me, she said, "Rory, you treat tithing like it's a chore." And that rang my bell, Dan. And I had to realize, I realized that, yeah, she's right. I do look at it like a chore. I do it, but it's kind of mechanical. And mm-hmm. So that's what got me going. I started praying. I said, okay, mm-hmm. God, I asked the Lord, I want to get tidy from you, Lord. I want to know what you say about it. And I started asking him just to show me yay or nay, one way or the other. And it didn't matter to me. I wasn't looking for a way out. We weren't looking for an excuse to stop. And I was tidying this, during this whole time period. So I would study and pray and pray and study my Bible. And I started taking notes. And the notes grew and grew. Well, after about 2 or 3 months, a couple of months of this, all of a sudden I realized that what I had been taught was not the same as what God was showing me in His Word. So I turned my notes over to my wife, and she thought I had a loose screw, you know, like, mm-hmm. how can you possibly go against what the church and the pastor teach?
Right, right.
So she was going to prove me wrong. Well, she started reading these notes, and she's not only got convinced, she said, she said God started giving her input, and she just felt right. She saw through the error of tithing also. It was an amazing thing. And but during this process, I realized the Lord was giving me something to write about that was going to be more than just my personal notes. It was going to be a book. And so it just kind of took on a life of its own from there. And I would sit down at the computer and begin to do a little research and write. And sometimes things like the Lord would speak to me and tell me to go look up some obscure passage in the Old Testament. One day it was Haggai chapter 2. And so I put the Bible open, looked back in Haggai chapter 2, and sure enough, there was something that we had been heard taught in our church, quoted from, in regard to supporting tithing, and it was totally off base. It was they were misapplying that passage of scripture to teach tithing from it, and God showed me what the difference was, and so this is more or less the process that God used in developing this book.
Mm-hmm. Rory, I'm looking at your book there, The Tithe That Binds, and I was looking at the front and the back cover. Where's the price for this book?
Well, Dan, that's a great question. Thank you. That was part of the revelation that came out of this. Jesus said that the gospel was freely, he said, freely you've received, freely give. And when I realized that God was giving me a revelation that we were not given in our church, that there's no way I can sell something that God gave me. I gladly make the book available for free. Mm-hmm. We've given away hundreds of copies. And at the website, americaslastdays.com, it can be ordered for free or downloaded as an ebook and read for mm-hmm. free.
Really?
We will not merchandise God's Word.
Mm. Well, that sure is a refreshing angle on that. But I say, nay, Mansoor, is not a workman worthy of his hire?
Well, yes, and but giving out the good news of what the Lord has promised us in Scripture is not—it's not a labor for me. It's just—it's a joy, and what we've learned from this, and the way that God has been showing us even more truth that we were never taught in church. There's no way we can never ask for money for something like this. It just. It's not in the...
Well, there's a whole lot of people that don't have that compunction, Rory. They have no problem with that. And it's interesting, you were saying that God was showing you information on tithing, but would it be true that whatever churches you went to, wouldn't they also said, now God has showed us how blessed you'll be when you start filling in that tithe bucket. So how is it that you can read the same book and come up with a diametrically opposed view?
Well, we heard that many, many times, and we were promised how if you know we call the tithe to be blessed message. I've lost count of how many times we heard that statement come across the pulpit by the professional preacher.
No doubt,
but it's a matter of going into the scriptures and studying and praying for. Every one of us is called to do this,
mm-hmm.
not to take another man's word. And they don't have to take my word for it or believe the book,
yeah.
but they do need to go in and and look in God's Word for themselves and believe what God says.
Mm-hmm. Rory, now here's the catch on that one. If you were in a church and you began to discover truths that the church didn't believe in, you would either be labeled as having a demon or a troublemaker, and they say, "Brother, we love you, but get out."
Well, that's pretty close to what happened. We didn't get the demon part, but one night we had the pastor and his wife and a group of elders, which I used to be one of the group. They all showed up unannounced on our front porch, and on a Monday night we invited them in, and it was a real interesting 2.5 hours, believe me.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of brotherly love going on in there?
There was. It was cordial. A couple of telling moments were at one point. I asked the pastor in front of everyone. I said, "Are we going to be biblically honest?" And he said, "Well, yes, of course." So I said, "Well, there's not a single verse of scripture where any church was told to tithe." Well, then he wouldn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't discuss it. Then he looked at the group and he said, "All right, everyone that's going to continue tithing here, raise your hand." Well, my wife and I were the only ones that didn't have our hands raised. So there was a little bit of manipulation going on as he protected his territory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of typical. I'm sure 5 years ago, when I was on the other side of the fence and I believed in tithing, I would have reacted the same way. I would have felt threatened and had to defend mm-hmm. what I thought was right.
Yeah. So was it that you were you in the church, and was it because you were telling others that you didn't believe that tithing was in there, or did they get some sort of divine revelation saying that they need to go visit you? How did they come about to nail you like that?
I was asking questions, and the last time I sat in church service, there was a man. This story's in the book. There was a man up there preaching, and he was a lay minister, a real nice guy, wonderful man. But he never had. He always had a problem keeping himself employed, and he was usually sick or afflicted. And while he was preaching. Then he went into Malachi, the famous passage of scripture about robbing God and, mm-hmm. and tithes and offerings,
right. mm-hmm.
and he was encouraging the congregation to continue, to pay your tithes and be faithful and this and that. Well, as he did that, the Lord pointed out a word in that passage to me that showed me that tithing was of the law, one of the ordinances of the Old Testament,
mm-hmm.
and after the service was over, I went up to him and I said, "Hey, brother, did you notice this? In this verse right before that talks about the law and the ordinances that we're not under anymore." Well, that scene there happened several times. I mentioned it to a couple of the people,
mm-hmm.
and another man I mentioned. This was another man who was. He was the one that was always used to receive the tithes and offerings. He'd get up there and speak and encourage everybody in their giving. And,
mm-hmm,
and
right.
As I was noticing as I was reading the New Testament, that it never mentioned tithing in the church, but it always mentioned giving. There was lots and lots of scriptures about, giving.
Yeah.
And so I mentioned that to him, so these were the things that filtered back to the pastor. Of course, at that church, we had a 24-hour rule in the leadership that if anyone heard anyone else talking contrary to the given order of the church, within 24 hours, they were to report that to the pastor, didn't matter who it was.
Wow.
Well, after all those years, Daniel,
yeah.
of being on the inside and being one of the ones that, went running to the pastor,
yeah.
when something
mm-hmm.
happened, the spotlight turned on me.
Oh boy, yeah, man, I tell you, the 24-hour rule, never heard that. But doesn't the fact of questioning Scripture in a church, isn't there at least these two that I know of? One says try the spirits, and another one says that no Scripture is given that is by private interpretation. So, I mean, is all Scripture settled from way back and that we never had a part in the understanding of it? I mean, who made the decisions as to what is the rule and what is not the rule?
Well, men made those decisions, obviously. Jesus, the church as it is, Daniel, conditions the people that attend the institutional church, we call it, carefully conditions them not to question or buck the system. And if you start to buck the system or ask too many questions, then you are isolated. Yeah. Jesus, you know, in the Bible, over and over again, there's warning after warning about false teachers, false prophets, false Christs, false messiahs, all the, over and over again, deceivers, wolves. Well, in an American church, we're just taught to love and accept everybody and everything, and not to judge, but we swallow a lot of stuff that the Bible tried to warn us from doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, that is kind of an amazing thing there. And the other thing I noticed that you said that that pastors are hired. Now, did somebody hire Jesus, who may be considered the chief shepherd pastor? Was he hired?
No, he was not hired by anybody. He was offered it all. I mean, the devil offered it to him in Matthew chapter 4, the kingdoms of this world and the glory and all the ego building that went with that, and he turned it down. In fact, when he had to pay taxes, he had to send Peter out there to go find a fish with a coin in it to pay his taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So, matter of fact, you will not find anywhere in your Bible that where Jesus received tithes.
Mm-hmm. And is there any scripture in the New Testament that it says to pay tithes at all?
Well, yes, it's all there's the in Hebrews chapter 8. It talks about the Levites; those are the priests under the Old Testament covenant of the law of Moses. They had a command to take tithes of the people. Of course, an offshoot of that is that the tithes they received were edible. It was produce. It was not money, and totally different. Tithing was totally different in the Old Testament. It had little or nothing to do with money. But here we go in the New Testament. It's all focused in our church culture on our money. But the real tithe was not money.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you, it looks like you said you may have tithed for at least 20 years. Is the end result, because one of the things isn't that the hook that they sort of give you, or the bait, they say that, you know, that you will be blessed in the field, and they have a whole litany of blessings, and the devourer will be rebuked, and God will come to your side. So, after all that, did you see evidence of what they claim would happen if you tithe, whether or not you believed or not? Did you see evidence of an opposite reaction when you tithe?
I'm not sure I understand the question there.
Did you benefit from it? Did you see, okay, we tithe this week, and wow, my car miraculously just got paid off by an unknown vendor or person, and then 1 week you didn't tithe, and all of a sudden you got a doctor bill. I mean, did you see things like that at all? Did you see any difference whether you tithe or whether you didn't?
To be honest, we did not see a difference. In fact, what we did see in the lives of many people in that fellowship, and especially the pastor and his family, they were some of the sickest people that we knew. And sickness is part of the curse. It's one manifestation of the curse listed back there in Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's a whole catalog of them, curses and blessings. And these people that promoted tithing were some of the sickest people I knew. Well, we're looking for my wife and I don't carry medical insurance. We haven't done that for years, and God's been healing us.
Mm-hmm.
But this, as far as tithing to be blessed, no, I don't see it. I really didn't see it in the lives of a lot of people that were faithful tithers.
Mm-hmm. All
and
right.
Depends what you call blessings too. I mean, you can be blessed financially in some areas, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that your marriage might not. You won't have marriage problems.
Yeah.
Tithers seem to have no hesitation to go out and, mm-hmm. and borrow large sums of money and buy boats and motorcycles.
Roy,
and all kinds of
things. I don't mean to add insult to injury, but that pastor recently, Haggard, I think it was his name. I wonder if he was teaching tithing just before he went gay.
I wish I would have looked that up on the internet. I'd almost be willing to say, with 90% assurance, that yeah, mm-hmm. they taught tithing.
Yeah.
The Joel Osteen with the $70 million remodel of the church, and your best life author, they believe promote tithing. It's on their website. So is Rod Parsley. He's over there in Ohio, close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit-filled church world is this full of this mm-hmm. tithing doctrine.
What would happen if everyone stopped tithing? Would all the churches collapse, or would they end up going back to the right way, and then maybe the supernatural things would start happening?
Well, the first thing that probably happened was you'd be separating the ministers who are truly called of God and truly sent of God. They'd stay. Mm-hmm. But the ones that, that have been corrupted by filthy lucre, they would start to fall off by the wayside, mm-hmm. and they'd have to go out and get jobs like they should have had all along.
Okay.
That's what Paul told them.
You mean, in other words, they had to work like they should have been working. Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We got dozens of questions here, and I know we're not going to be able to get to them all, so I'm going to go through a few, Roy, and try to give your best summarization of an answer, because otherwise we'll never get to them. Let's go ahead and go to this one here. It says, okay. My whole inbox is just full up, and I just got to pick one here. Hang on. By the way, when you're talking about the Malachi scripture, why don't they ever talk about the ordinance that's written directly in front of that ordinance? Because there are two ordinances listed in Malachi 3:10. Why don't they ever talk about that first one?
Which ordinance are you referring to?
Well, in Malachi 3:10, there are two ordinances there, and that first one says that you shall walk humbly before your God. But they never teach that one. It's like they just erase it right out of that passage.
Well, that's a good point, and there's about... Because
it doesn't pay much? Is that why they don't talk about it?
No, it doesn't pay much. There's about 612 other ordinances I guess they'd have to line up to along with that.
Uh-huh. Okay, here we go. If circumcision and animal sacrifice and the Sabbath are shadows and were fulfilled with Christ spiritually in the New Covenant, what was the fulfillment of the tithe?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I can answer the fulfillment of the tithe other than this, that Jesus taught giving. He said, freely you've received, freely give. When he sent his ministers out, that they were provided for. He sent 70 men out. He said, don't take your wallet, don't take scrip, don't take money, and God provided for them.
Mm-hmm.
Paul showed by example that he, in two ways, he worked with his hands for many years when he went to minister in churches like Corinth and Thessalonica and Ephesus. And Paul was also provided for by loving, giving brethren.
Mm-hmm.
So tithing under the law was mandatory, as was their moral behavior and a lot of other things.
Yeah.
So the fulfillment is in giving as the Lord directs.
I mentioned earlier, I said, I wasn't, and I'm sure you were not included in the rewriting or the interpretation of what the old scriptures meant, but where did they change? At what point did they change the tithing of the farm produce and say, oh, well, let's make it money because it's much more convenient? I mean, was there like a meeting where they did that, or did it just happen gradually? How did that? Is there any point you can historical point you can point to where that changed?
Well, that historically, you could trace that back into the Catholic Church, the early era of the Catholic Church, where tithing was brought in as a way to fund the professional clergy. As the clergy became elevated over the laity,
mm-hmm.
and became professionalized.
Did they charge for sin back then?
I believe they did.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's a question from Bruce. He wants to know, if tithing is false, what about the rapture and women preachers?
Well, I knew someone was going to ask that. To me, the rapture is the same as tithing. There's not a single verse supporting a pre-tribulation rapture. That there is a rapture at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, and God knows the church sure needs purification, and it's not going to happen. I don't think the church that we see around us is very acceptable to God right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Donna and the gang says that they're assuming that you do not have a private jet as a result of giving that book away.
A private jet?
Yeah, you don't have a private jet yet?
No. I gladly give the book away. I don't care what it costs.
No, I think that's in reference to a lot of preachers who have private jets these days. You know, they say they've got to get to where they're going in style. You know, I mean, they've got to bypass the masses to get their message out.
Well, my little Toyota 4Runner is a six-year-old car.
Okay.
I take good care of it, though.
Okay. All righty. And we have this here. Let's see what we got here. Since you no longer hold the common belief in tithing, do you still attend a fellowship?
That's another great question. I'm not sure what kind of fellowship he's referring to. If it means taking official membership of any organized or institutional church, no. The answer is no. But as far as fellowshipping with believers and gathering together with people who believe believe God and believe His Word, every chance we get.
You know, I have attended churches in the past myself, Rory, and one time I had a sort of a question-and-answer session, maybe similar to what you were saying, because I was discovering the missing verses in the NIV, and I asked the guy up front there, I said, well, what about these missing, because he read scriptures, and the passages, it was missing the scripture, so I said, was that scripture necessary or not? He said, well, it doesn't matter if a few scriptures are missing or not, you know, as long as you get the gist of the thing. I said, good. I said, do you have a marker there, because I want to go ahead and mark this out, and I started marking different scriptures out, and, well, I got that kind of group, surrounding group, you know, it's sort of like in the body, you know, where you have like a virus, and all of a sudden these things attack it, you know?
Well, that's kind of like the opposite of what we were told about the tithing in that last meeting. It was, they told us it is assumed the church tithes. Well, so they didn't take it out, Daniel. You know, they were writing some stuff in because they could assume tithing, since they assumed tithing was in there. When it's not, they were just kind of like writing in their own little, part of the program for us in the New Testament.
Isn't it amazing how that they use smoke and mirrors to perpetuate the financial extraction from the members? How, because it's plain. I mean, a casual reading of the Bible, you will see that tithing is not in. You don't even have to be a scholar; it's just not in there. You know, in the New Testament, particularly, and in the Old Testament, you say, and it clearly says, and unto the Levites, or you know, unto the children of Hanar or whatever, you know, you tithe to the singers or to the music players or to the Levites. And how they twist that around to say, today's Christians, when you go to church, now you pay to the pastor or the church. I don't see how they ever get there.
Well, after doing this study, I don't either. It was clear and it was codified in the Old Testament, but the day that I realized there was not a single verse of Scripture instructing any Christian or any church to tithe to anybody in the New Testament, I was stunned. We were still tithing at that point when I saw this, and it probably took us 2 to 3 months to come to grips with it. It was just, it was so astounding to us. How could the church, how could our nice pastor be completely wrong on this? Not a single verse telling any Christian to tithe. It's incredible.
Well, you know what? This is happening in so many different categories. For instance, Dave Van Cleest in his 911 video called In Plain Sight, where he points out that the crime happened right in plain sight, and then you can go right to even toothpaste, which is one of the things that started me on my track to discover the truth when I found that fluoride was a poison. And just even recently, just to make sure that I still was on the right track on that, I asked my dentist, and I said, where does fluoride come from? She goes, well, I don't know. And I said, well, is it FDA approved? She goes, no, I don't know. I said, man, did you not get a degree, you know, in that, you know, and people just assume, say, well, okay, I'll take it because they said so, you know, and that's about as much research as most people do. But I think if people research tithing, there would be a lot of upset people in the church. And so I wonder, do you have, has any websites popped up saying that you're some sort of anti-Christ or anything yet?
No, I haven't heard that. In fact, during the final editing of the book, I was fishing around for the contrary view. I'd given it out to some professional clergy, and I was trying to get some feedback for the contrary view, and they wouldn't touch it. I was just amazed by it. I thought, well, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I was willing to be corrected, but no one really would. I did receive a few arguments from a couple people at our old church, and I went in there and went into those also. That typically what comes up is Abraham tithed before the law, so we got to keep tithing because of Abraham. And then the other one is in Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus told the Pharisees, they ought to tithe. This you ought to have done, he said to the Pharisees.
How many times is it recorded that Abraham paid tithes?
Something. I count one time in my Bible. Abraham paid one tithe, according to the Bible.
Really?
So, yeah, and not only that, but he gave the other 90% away, too. He gave it back to the kings, that the guys that owned the stuff that he had recovered in the first place.
Okay, so since he instituted tithing, then I suppose his son Isaac tithed too, right?
Well, there's no record of Isaac tithing. It does say he was blessed, but he continued in his father Abraham's blessings. Now, Jacob paid a tithe. It doesn't say to who or how much or how often, but it sounds like he paid a tithe to his evil twin, Esau, when he was facing Esau was coming over to kill him, was coming out to kill him, Jacob, and so Jacob put up a nice offering for tithe, apparently.
Willie says that wasn't the verses in Malachi concerning tithing, wasn't that written to the priests of the day?
Yes, it was. And the priests, under the law, the priests had a command to take tithes from the people, and they were to pay tithes also. But they were abusing God's people also in this matter. They were robbing God, just like the Christians. Really, in a sense, my personal opinion is we robbed God this whole time when we tithed either to somebody's ministry, which they were not entitled to, or we tithed to a church organization, which God never told us to do. And in the meantime, you have people that are in financial trouble, widows, orphans, single moms, people that need financial help, and they're extracting tithes from people that no way can afford that. They're struggling, and we've been robbing them, and we're called to minister to them.
What happens when somebody does pay tithe? I mean, I'm sure that they're believing that they're doing the work of God by paying 10%, say, to a church building. But then doesn't the church, to justify that, don't they turn around and say, well, we give to missionaries, you know, we tithe 10%. So really, in reality, aren't you really only tithing 0.1% or 0.01%, whatever the count of the people in the building is, towards, say, an actual ministry, because the rest of it's going to wages and toilet paper and curtains and new paint?
Absolutely. This friends, we had some close friends that were there. They were the financial officers of a local church. He did the bookkeeping for them. He told me that 94.5% of what came into that church, which in that church it was a tithe and offering, it was all the money, 94.5% of that went out in overhead and salary. That's what swallowed up the whatever ministries or beneficial ministries that the church had. It was just a few crumbs that fell off the financial table to the missions and whoever else.
So there is a sort of dividing of the actual payment that you pay in, and then but doesn't the Bible really say that? Point blank say you're supposed to give to the needy? Isn't that where you're really supposed to be paying into?
Well, yes. The Lord, He tells us in His Word that we are not to neglect those in need. That if we turn our back or our face away from somebody who's hungry or in need, you know, in other words, shame on us. That's very unpleasing to God. And part of the point of giving, I'd like to mention in the New Testament, is, you know, God wants to have a relationship with His people. He doesn't want to punch a time clock or a financial time clock in church every Sunday. He wants to be able to speak to His people where to give and how much. And once you break free of this tithing and pass the offering plate every Sunday, you know, they'll open themselves up to hearing the voice of God, and He would love to speak to His people to direct them how and where to give.
By the way, we just got an email from a listener who says they went to New Life where the haggard gay man was preaching, and he said he was a proud teacher of a tithing church. So there's our answer.
Well, no surprise there. You know, another point, there's a sidebar to this, is you hear the church in the New Testament, you hear the church referred to as the storehouse. It's in the Protestant evangelical world.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was no surprise for us when I did a little research in the concordance, that the New Testament church is never called a storehouse. We're the people. God's people are a storehouse. God gives it to us, and He wants to direct us on how to give.
Well, yeah,
never is the institution or the organization called the storehouse.
Isn't it? I'm not an expert on types and shadows, but isn't in the Old Testament the that God dwelt in a temple made with hands, and today he dwells in the body, which is the temple of the living God. So when you're tithing, wouldn't that, again, solidify the teaching that giving to someone, a person in need, is giving into the temple of God?
Well, that's absolutely correct. It's quoted in Acts chapter 7, as a matter of fact, that Stephen said, God said he will not dwell in a temple made with hands. But that's what we've been feeding and funding all these years.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
Paul went further in 1 Corinthians, and he said, for you are the temple of the living God.
Mm-hmm.
God dwells in us. We're the people of God are his building, his mm-hmm. temple. It's not a physical building. As a matter of fact, another shocker is when you realize that in the New Testament scriptures, no church, no Christian is ever instructed, commanded, suggested to go out and buy property and own a building.
Mm-hmm. Here in Indianapolis, we just recently had a big event where 15 ministers went to the City Council of Indianapolis and threatened the city, saying, if you don't give us $25 million for inner-city programs for youth, that we're going to stop the building of our new dome stadium downtown. Now, somebody pointed out in letters to the editor of the Indianapolis Star that several of these ministers had just got done building multi-million dollar churches and suggested that perhaps they should take some of those millions that they were putting into the buildings and into the luxury cars for the pastors, that perhaps they could pay their own programs with that. And this is the kind of thing that is going from the kind of shenanigans, whether it's TBN or these ministers blackmailing the city, different things. The whole idea of just being a humble person before God and helping the needy is really gone by the wayside, it almost seems.
Well, that's absolutely true, because an example in the New Testament, Paul gathered the overseers of Ephesus together in Acts chapter 20, and now he'd been with them for I think about 3 years, and he gathered those people to get the leaders together, and he told them how when he was with them, how he worked with his own hands, that he'd not be chargeable to anybody, and he did so as an example for them to do also. He was telling the leaders, the pastors, and whatever other leaders they had, that they needed to be working and supporting the weak,
mm-hmm.
not living off the weak and living a rich and wealthy lifestyle, which is also contrary to what they all taught in mm-hmm. the New Testament.
Yeah. Hey, Rory, you know, you're talking about the tithing, but didn't Paul say that he had a certain power? He could exact a power over the people to collect for the gospel, but he didn't want to bring any disrepute to the gospel, so therefore he didn't charge. Have you ever heard a pastor teach on that scripture and then say, but we're not like him, we need money? Have you ever heard him, like, in the same message, or probably you never heard him talk at all about Paul saying, I refuse lest I bring shame upon the gospel for charging for it? But how do pastors take that and then say, well, but we have to charge?
Well, they have to ignore the scripture, those scriptures. That was one of the things that God showed us. These things are in this book. Almost, I'd say 90% are things that God showed us, my wife and I. We didn't read in somebody else's book or website. And one of the things was that Paul worked. He taught a work ethic to the ministry. And he said in that one passage you're referring to, that his reward, this is 1 Corinthians 19, by the way, he said that he preached the gospel at no charge. He said, what's my reward? Paul's reward was that he preached the gospel without charge. That was his reward.
Mm-hmm. Should a church rely on love offerings instead of tithes?
Well, if the love offerings are going to people that God loves, I'm sure. You know, I don't see any sense anymore in supporting the overhead of a building and then advertising and insurance and parking lots and pews and carpet and all that mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah, and
well, don't, adds up quick.
Don't forget about toilet paper with little bears on it.
Oh yeah,
you got to pay for that.
diapers in the ladies' room. And
yeah, so no, this is a very controversial subject, and for those who are used to paying tithes, it is a real shock to think that for eons of time in their lives that they've been paying these tithes, which really doesn't have a biblical basis, but it just it's relied strictly on smoke and mirrors. And like you say, there's this little bit of a sort of an underlying pressure that you get, say, like if you disagree, then you know you need to question yourself as to whether you're even saved, because you're probably damned for hell if you disagree with that.
Well, I'll guarantee you that probably everyone in these churches that teaches tithing has a tithe requirement for their leadership. And I understand. It's a shock. It was a shock for us. 24 years, I'm so sorry. We repented. I told God I'm so sorry for doing something you never told us to do. But so we can understand someone who maybe is hearing this for the first time, and they're hearing me say something like, there's not a single verse of Scripture in the New Testament telling Christians or churches to tithe. You know, that's a real shocker to a lot of people. But you know, if they will get into their Bible and they talk to God for themselves, that they are perfectly capable from hearing from God for themselves, as my friend Steve says.
Mm-hmm. This writer asked the question, what is your opinion on the 501c3 organized church?
Well, that's where the devil and the church shake hands.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The 501c3 is a great way to incorporate churches and bring them into conformity with the law of the land. In the Bible, the governments of the world are called beast kingdoms. I mean, the devil offered these kingdoms of the world to Jesus, you know, because he had some power and authority in those things. Mm-hmm. And so the 501c3 organizes a church along IRS rules. And I have a section there, page in the book, which God told me to go find out about the 501c3, and so it's in the book, and it gives a list of laws and rules that churches must abide by. It also brings them into an organizational structure that has no resemblance to the New Testament church. Mm-hmm. A church organization under the 501c3 has to have a pastor, CEO, a board. And that's totally foreign to the New Testament.
When a group of believers is tithing into a church and there's a deed to that building, why is it they don't get a piece of the deed when they leave, or get paid off when they leave for the amount of money they paid into it?
Well, that's a great question. I don't have the answer to that. I think a good place to start for these churches would be to give their buildings away.
If somebody, and then give to the poor. Yeah, I can see that. Hey, what if somebody were to question the tithing, and then they're surrounded by these people that say, you know, you're bringing confusion. Didn't the Bible say you should go before a group of people? And then, let me ask another question. Because I've heard this myself, when somebody is tithing, instead of getting a biblical answer, you get this like, well, how else are we going to pay the pastor? How else are we going to pay the rent? But see, we're not talking about logic. They're using logic in place of a scripture in that case. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying, and that's human reasoning, but that's the first, it's a good question. Like, well, if I can't live off a tithe or a salary, how am I supposed to make a living? Well, Paul told him, he said, go out and work. You're supposed to go out and work and support the weak and needy.
Mm-hmm. And if the churches begin to not be funded, do you think that people would revert back to the way they did it in the New Testament? They met in different houses, and then wouldn't they have a lot more money to give to the poor, and perhaps we could end poverty? Who knows?
Well, it should go a long way towards building loving Christian relationships with people, rather than have them all sit in neat rows facing forward for an hour and not knowing much about the people around them. We believe in house churches. It's funny, the church in China, that's the real church in China, that is, they meet in houses. There's no overhead to a house, you know, and there's no need for a professional preacher in a house that meets mm-hmm. You know, in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great idea. You build much more loving, involved relationships with other Christians in that environment than you ever would sitting in a church in rows facing forward for an hour.
No doubt about that. Roy Moore, a final comment on your book or your website where people can get that book for free?
Well, it's offered free at America's, that's with an S, americaslastdays.com. It's right there on the front page. There's some other books there that are given away. And you want me to give out my email address?
Absolutely. Go
I'll
ahead.
Answer questions.
Sure.
Okay. Folks, save the hate mail, please. You know, we're Christians. We love you. Even if you send me hate mail, I'll still love you. But our email address is TTTB. That's short for the tie that binds. TTTB at PacBell, PacBell.net.
Okay, and then if you want to go ahead and email that to me, Roy, I'll get it up on in your bio area so people don't even have to remember. You can just click there and go and send you an email, possibly go to your website as well. And this really wasn't enough time for you. I've got some more things to ask you, and we still have some more questions. So can we have you back again sometime, Roy?
I'd love to, and it's a great subject. Churches and money is something that really needs to be talked about in the context of the Bible.
Very good. All right, well, thank you for coming on the program tonight, Roy.
Thank you, Daniel.
You bet.
Discovering the truth together. You're listening to the Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Ott.